Welcome to Freelance Sucks. Here we discuss the dark side of freelancing about which nobody usually talks out loud. In this show, we speak with experienced freelancers, and I'm sure listening to their stories helps you prepare for freelancers' challenges. My name is Yuri. I'm a community builder at Code Control and 9am.works, and my guest is Emmy Rogers, a freelance product designer and user researcher with 8 years of experience who helps teams design and build great digital products. Founder of a creative studio, Gubbins, and Notion certified consultant. So, welcome, Emmy.
Yeah, thank you.
Let's talk about the easiest thing that freelancers only have. It's what are the most challenging part of being a freelancer?
I think for me, it's been the emotional side. Like, there's a lot of warnings before you get into it about, oh yeah, you have to manage all your own finances and pitch for work. And all of that has been difficult at times, but manageable. The stuff that they don't tell you about really is the emotional side of it. So me, for example, I get like a lot of, I think you'd call it imposter syndrome, where you know how it is, like not every day is a 9 to 5, not all of your hours are productive. So if you are sat there on a Tuesday afternoon with like a few hours free, there's always that guilt in the back of your head that's like, why aren't you at work? Why aren't you working? Everybody else is working. But they also don't see that you work from perhaps like 7 p.m. till 10 p.m. on a Thursday because you had something come in late, or that time you work on a Saturday or on a bank holiday. Like, it all balances out, but you can't help but feel like you're not being productive if you're not doing the same hours as other people. So yeah, that's one thing that really hit me.
And also it's always on your mind. So even if you are not kind of doing the real work, you're still thinking about it. And you know, what really works for me when I'm somewhere outside having fun with my family and then like, some crazy thoughts are striking and I'm starting thinking about work, how to do things better. So yeah, basically you live with it.
Yeah, it's hard to turn off. Like, it's always going, always going.
How do you switch? How do you switch and how do you deal with this emotional side?
I take a very, very pragmatic approach to it. So in my calendar, I will literally book out time. I will say, okay, from 7 p.m. till like 11 p.m. I'm in a meeting, but that meeting is lying on the sofa playing my Switch or, you know, having a board game evening with friends. Like, you have to schedule that free time in. It's not just a given anymore. And it is still hard to stop that thought of like, oh, but maybe I should just go and answer that email. Maybe I should go and write more on that document. But if you've already booked yourself in for free time, you've done that for a reason. So yeah, that's kind of how I manage it, very pragmatically.
Sounds like a meeting with yourself.
Yeah, it is.
Yes, and you are not the first person who told that they have to add it really to the calendar, because otherwise, no, if calendar is free, it's so easy to put additional stuff. God. What is the most time-consuming thing you must deal with as a freelancer, except for work itself?
Definitely admin. For me, it's a lot of just back and forth emails, scheduling meetings, a lot of chasing invoices, a lot of writing proposal documents is something that a part of me loves it, because you do get to really nail down how you're going to help someone and the plan of how you're going to do it. But then part of it isn't, you have some feeling in the back of your mind that that's never going to get responded to, that you will put in, you know, a few hours of work and research into this document and you're going to get ghosted. And that takes up so much energy. Like, where possible, I avoid writing them now. I do as much as possible, like around and outside writing a proposal, just because I don't like the anxiety of, oh, I'm going to do all of this and then no one's ever going to look at it. Like, yeah, but it's surprising as well how much time goes into stuff that isn't the thing you're paid for. Like, how much time and energy goes into planning meetings and goes into trying to organize all these different things. Yeah.
How do you add all this time to your hourly rate?
I think it's difficult, isn't it? Like, the way that I've started calculating my rates is more on my outgoings. So I can't remember who said this or where I found this information, but you can't really equate it to your, like, what would you make as a full-time employee? Because yeah, mm-hmm. your hours aren't consistent. So I've started balancing it out with, okay, like, how much rent am I paying? What kind of pension payments do I want to be making? Like, what are my food expenses? And then calculating over the course of a month, okay, what's my target for this month? How short am I? And mm-hmm. I do have, like, ballpark estimates for projects. Like, I'm at this stage in my career where I know how long something's going to take me, and I know how many days, how many hours that's going to take. So I do keep those as a back pocket estimate. But I think the main metric is, am I making enough to survive?
Do you delegate some of your work?
No, I absolutely know that it would help me. But no, I'm very protective over my own processes and my own ways of doing things. Like, I know that some people will outsource, for example, their finances, they'll hire an accountant, or their social media, they'll get someone else to post stuff for them. But I can't do either of those things. I'm very, like, I need to, and I know that it's a problem. I know that it can be more of a burden than a benefit at times, but I need to know what's going on. I need to know why it's happening. I need to have control over that outcome. But I also think that's part of the joy of it. Like, if I wanted to just be working on someone else's thing, like, permanently, I would join a company. But I want to be able to have control over all of my own stuff. That's kind of why I got into this in the first place.
Sounds like you are in this team. You know, there are three teams. First team is people who are not delegating, second who are delegating, and third who are in between. So kind of like know that it's really helpful, but no, I can't.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Welcome to this team. So you talked a little bit about ghosting. So how do you deal with somebody's ghosting you?
I think initially I took it really personally. Like, it was a slight on me. It was that, oh, I wasn't worth their time anymore. But now I've realized that it is just, it's to do with them and their situation. Like, I'm not conscious of where I've ghosted someone, but I'm sure I have. And it will be because I've just been so overwhelmed, so busy. Like, there was a moment, I think it was last year, where we were hiring for a designer, and I got, I think it was 120 applications. And I was trying to go through them alongside my actual work. So I did not have time to go through all of them. I didn't have time to respond to all the emails. And I felt terrible because I know what it's like to be on the other side of that. But at the same time, it's hard to see just how much someone has going on just from a single channel of communication. Like, I'm not the most diligent at responding, but I do try and respond to all the important ones where I can. I think it's important, even if you're going to reject someone, to let them know, because yeah, ghosting is like, it's the most disgusting feeling.
Yeah, exactly. And what is the most nerve-wracking thing you must deal with as a freelancer?
That's a good question. I think it's when stuff goes wrong. So thankfully, I haven't had to deal with that so much in my career at this point, touch wood. But it's where someone's disappointed, or where a system has fallen down and cost something big. And that is not only difficult from the perspective of, okay, we have to fix this. There's going to be some repercussion. We're going to have to deal with this as a problem. But then emotionally, as a freelancer, that knocks your confidence. It makes you think, oh, okay, like, I'm just a fraud. Like, I've caused all of this. It's all terrible. And trying to manage both of those things sucks. Like, it's bad. And everybody has to do it. Hopefully not often. But yeah, it's never easy. It really isn't.
And as a freelancer, what builds up your confidence?
Working with good people. So working with people who get what you do, who understand its value and tell you how helpful it is to them. That is the best thing you can have as a freelancer. Just feeling appreciated, feeling like you're helping. I think also, and this is weird for an independent freelancer to say, but having a team, having some group of people that you have a shared mission with, even if you're just there as like a what's the word I'm looking for? Kind of like a solo like contractor who's been hired on, kind of like, I'm not a huge Star Wars fan, but kind of like the Han Solo who's just been brought in for this one thing and then goes off into the galaxy. Like, you're still part of a group trying to achieve a mission together. And however long you're there for, however embedded into that team you are, I think that is a really good feeling to have.
Sounds like a community.
Yeah.
So as a freelancer, do you ever deal with a professional loneliness?
All the time. Yeah. Like, it's easy when you're like a perm worker, because you just get a default group of people. It's the same when you're at school, you have a default set of friends because you're all in the same space all day, every day for like years and years and years. Similarly with a company, you're there every day. You all go through the same pains. But as a freelancer, particularly me, because I work, I don't tend to do like the full 5 days a week with one team. I tend to do like a little bit with a bunch of different people, that it is hard to build up those consistent connections. It's hard to feel like you belong fully, because of course stuff will happen while you're not there, or you will be working remotely a lot of the time, so you miss out a lot of the in-person connection. Like, it is hard, and I managed that maybe not as well as I could do, but it's a constant struggle, right? Like, I will arrange meetups with people outside of work. I think I mentioned board games before. I will do that kind of thing. I join communities specifically for freelancers as well. So there's like a little bit of that balance, but it's a lot more effort than just being in an office or being, you know, in a consistent group every day.
Yeah. If your friend wanted to become a freelancer, what are top three things you'd advise them to consider before doing it?
I think the first thing I would say, and this is a very pragmatic answer, is make sure you have the finances to do it. So it's a common advice of make sure you have like 3 to 6 months of runway saved up before you go freelancing. I think that's a super sensible piece of advice, because the anxiety you feel when you have a dry period, when you have a period where there's just no work, no one's looking for anything, the silence, your money is slowly ticking down, like, that is painful. That sucks. Yeah. So you want to avoid the feeling of being like on the knife edge immediately. You want that little bit of comfort. Another thing I would say is I hate the term network, but to tell people that you're freelancing and to let people know that you're available. So that's something I didn't really do a lot of early on. And even now I feel like I should be doing more. But just posting on social platforms, building up a backlog of, I'm here, I'm available to do work, here's how I can help. It's not the same as if you're looking for a permanent job where you have, and I can only speak really as a designer, where you have a portfolio of stuff and then you're going into interviews, then you get a job and then you don't update your portfolio for 3 years. It's more of like just consistently showing up, showing in small bite-sized pieces what you're up to, what you're doing. I think that's super important too, but also really hard. And like we said before about outsourcing, it's something that if you need help with, that's okay.
You know, I feel like there are no easy things for freelancers, and it becomes easy only when you did a lot of mistakes learned from them. And when you met like-minded people, that's exactly why I always try to tell people that if you are freelancing, first of all, go find some friends, you know, go find a community, go find somebody who on the same journey, maybe they've been there, done that. Mm-hmm. And maybe they're doing this at the same moment with you, and you can do it together. And it's so much easier when you have at least somebody, you know, to share your challenges with. This is basically what we're doing right now, talking about your freelancers' challenges. And I bet there are so many people who have the same feelings here. And, you know, I really wish to have the sky as a limit, but time is a limit. So the final question, if you were starting freelancing today, what is one thing you would have done differently?
That is a really good question. It's difficult. I think I would, yeah, the advice I gave before, obviously, of posting on social media, making sure you have enough money, that kind of thing. But then also the taking the time and the energy to build up your mental resilience and to tell yourself that, yes, you are doing the right thing. It's weird to go against the grain. It's weird to step out of that 9 to 5. And it's weird to not be doing the same things as a lot of other people. It's also weird to have to put up with that internal sort of judgment. I think before the pandemic, and I can't really speak to this because I started freelancing after it, but before the pandemic, the idea of freelancer working at home in their pajamas was like, it was a stigma. And it feels like that isn't as strong nowadays because we've all had to do that ourselves, but it's still really tough. So yeah, I would say from the beginning, I would just right out of the gate, deal with that and then set up active practices to keep dealing with that. Because it still affects me, you know, even though it's been however many years, 4, I think.
You know, I had a conversation previously on this podcast and person told me like, there are so many uncertainties, but as a freelancer, I get used to uncertainties. So it feels like we're pretty much the same, you know, there are still challenges, there are still hard things, but we are kind of like getting used to them. So
yeah, we will learn, we will grow. And we're seeing it now with the rise of things like AI, like we're all going to have to keep changing and growing and adapting. But that's also the fun of it. It's the fact that it's different every day. The fact that, you know, you have to be a little bit weird, a little bit creative. It's yeah, it's all part of the fun.
Yeah. You know, Amy, thank you so much for sharing your experience and for having such an open conversation.
No, it's been good. It's been fun. Thanks for having me.
And thank you so much for listening. If you like the show, hit the like button on 5 stars and share it with your friend. That's it. We're done. See you in the next episode.